Oh, so good. Just for the record, I think that's great, honestly. You know, you never know what kids are going to, let's see if I put this over here maybe, what kids are going to remember, what they're going to think of. And yeah, it's crazy and maybe a little bit chaotic, but man, children are, as the word says, children are a gift from the Lord. And the opportunity, you just don't know what they're going to see. It's amazing what they do. And so things like that and engaging them, I think it's fantastic. I really do, even if it's a little crazy. So, get organized here. So just as David said, to tell you just a brief little bit about ourselves, so you have an idea who in the world is standing up here. Maybe you've seen a picture somewhere of us, or maybe you have, there's a picture of us. Maybe you have, or maybe you haven't, but I'm Alex, and my wife, Elizabeth, is hanging out with our four kids somewhere, and we're the Minium family. We're missionaries with Ethnos 360 Aviation, formerly New Tribes Mission. Maybe that name rings a bell, New Tribes Mission Aviation. And we have a privilege of sharing with you guys this morning. For those of you who don't know, let's start over. My wife and Alicia go back quite a number of years, and we've gotten to know them. We visited them here last summer and said that New Song was supporting New Tribes Mission as a whole, and they wanted to support an individual family. And we just felt really humbled by that. And New Song, you, our New Song, have been supporting us for a number of months now. And I want to just start off by saying thank you for that. Not because it's out of obligation, but because for us going out, when we see a church and are able to engage a church who is excited about the things of the Lord, excited about things that are for eternity, and investing in them, it's not always common, as common as you might think, but it encourages our hearts so much to be able to engage a church that's so responsive, and talking with Pastor Herb and David and Alicia and sharing upstairs this morning in the Digging Deeper class, and just people who are engaged in what God is doing in the world here in Bethel and in Pittsburgh area and beyond. That's exciting. That's really exciting. And so we just want to say as a family, thank you to you for that. It's been an encouragement to our hearts, let me tell you. When we've been working towards this, we've been doing this for a long time. In preparing, we're going to be serving with Ethnos 360 Aviation as a missionary pilot family in the Philippines. And it's taken a lot of years to get to where we are now with the training required. And I'll get a little bit into that as I share more about our story. But when we see a church who's encouraging us in that way, it's just exciting. And so thank you. I hope that we can convey that here today. Thank you all. And so I thought to begin our time, as I was thinking about how to begin our time, I kept coming back to this idea of the urgency of God's word. The urgency of God's word to people who don't know him. Right? People who are lost and going to be, are destined for an eternity apart from Christ because they don't know him. So there's a sense of urgency there. And so I kept coming back to that, and I thought, man, I really want to open our time here just with a word of prayer, just asking the Lord to, in a time where there's lots of distractions, just to focus our minds a little bit on what he is doing in the world today, and that we would all grasp that, just the sense of urgency of God's word. So Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we have your word in our language, that we can open it up, that we can, by the power of your spirit in us as believers, we can grow closer to you, we can walk with you, we can learn about you. You're at work in our lives. Your word says that it's living and it's active. And when we see growth that only comes from you, what a tremendous testimony that is. And Lord, I pray that today that we would all walk away here with a better understanding of who you are, and Lord, that your spirit would just be at work during this time. Thank you for New Song and their part in this ministry, their tremendous part in this ministry, and we're grateful for them. So thank you for this time. In your name we pray, amen. So we and I so desperately need his spirit to continually humble and tune our hearts to the word of God, right? So there's so many distractions, and it's We are desperate for His Spirit as we seek to allow His Spirit to tune our hearts to the Word of God, things that are true. And so I want to share with you a little bit about our story today. And I want to do it in a way, I know I could sit here and I could tell you a little bit about our family and how we got to where we are. And I hope that I can do that so you can get to know us a little bit better. But I hope that far more valuable to us all is that if we walk, is for us to walk away from here today knowing Him more intimately and not just us. And so I hope that we can do that. So I hopefully answered a little bit of the question as to who we are, getting ready to go to the Philippines, serving with Ethnos 360 Aviation and flying missionaries there. But how did we get here? And I want to take a minute and I want to kind of talk through, many of you know the story of Joshua chapter 3, when, and I kind of started there in Joshua chapter 3, and we'll read a little bit out of chapter 4. But remember, the Israelites had been wandering in the desert for 40 years. Moses was their leader. And in the time of Joshua, Moses had died, and Joshua was now taking over as leader of the Israelites. Israelites at that time estimated somewhere between 2 and 2.5 million people. That's a large group of people. And to now, all of a sudden, you're in charge, and you're the leader over them. God appointed you as leader. This is talking about Joshua. Can you imagine the unrest there, the little bit of unsettling feeling that Joshua might have had and that the people might have had? And the first thing that God does is He promises Joshua that He is going to make him a great leader in the eyes of the Israelites. And what a hope that would be to Joshua. So here you have the picture of God has promised them that they are now, Moses is dead. So remember, they couldn't go, Moses could not go into the promised land. Now Joshua has taken over, and so God is going to allow them into the promised land. The problem is, the promised land, first city on the other side of the Jordan River from where the Israelites were, is the city of Jericho. And we all know the story of the city of Jericho. And here you have Joshua, now newly in charge of the Israelites. God is leading them through Joshua, and He said, told Joshua that they are going to take the city of Jericho. And remember, they sent two spies into the city of Jericho, the story of Rahab. And the spies come back, and there's fear amongst the city of Jericho, seeing what God has done through the Israelites in coming their direction. And so you have Joshua but there's an obstacle in the way of God has promised that Joshua that they will take all the cities. When they enter the promised land, no city can touch them. They will battle and they will win. They will be victorious each and every time. There is a barrier, though, between Jericho and where they were, and it's the Jordan River. And not only Jordan River, but if you read in chapter 3 of Joshua, the Jordan River was at flood stages. It was during harvest time. It was at flood stage. So a very wide, very fast-flowing river. Think about, we've had a ton of rain this summer. I grew up in Pennsylvania in Williamsport area, and we just spent the last few weeks there visiting family in our home church there, and it rained like every day. It rained more than I can imagine, and creeks that would get high and running fast once in a while, were once a year maybe, if that, were seemed like on a weekly basis, rising up and coming back down. So here you are, you're Joshua, and maybe even the Israelites standing behind Joshua, and you've got this raging river in front of you to cross to get to Jericho, but God said He's going to do it somehow. So God tells Joshua to choose one man from each, representing each of the 12 tribes of Israel, right? And they're going to carry the Ark of the Covenant, and they're going to cross the Jordan River. Now, imagine being Joshua, and like, what are you going to do? God, either you're going to make a fool out of me, or you're going to do something tremendous here. Because we've got 2.5 million people about to cross this flooding river. So 12 men, each representing one of the tribes of Israel, they grab hold of the Ark of the Covenant, and God tells Joshua, tell them to walk up to the edge of the river, and they walk up to the edge of the river, and the whole people of Israel are behind them. As soon as they do, what happens? Well, we know God stops the flow of the river. The river continues flowing beyond the point that He stopped it into the Dead Sea, and it backs up far upriver. But there's a wall, and God allows the people of Israel to cross the river. The men carrying the Ark of the Covenant, they go out and they stand right in the middle, like probably a wall of water beside them, while 2.5 million people and all of their belongings cross beside them. probably a pretty big event, but they cross on dry ground. But before they finish crossing, they have another one from each of the tribes of Israel come back. And this is where I'd like to read in Joshua chapter 4, verse 4. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up, as you cross, take up each of you a stone on his shoulder." So I would imagine a stone that one man could hold on his shoulder, a decent size. "Each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean? So take them to the other side and pile them there on the riverbank. What do those stones mean? Then you shall tell them the waters of the Jordan River were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and when it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." That's pretty tremendous, a tremendous event. And why do you think God did this? I know for me, I have trouble remembering. You know, you set a reminder on your phone. Sometimes you set a reminder for a reminder. I mean, we our life is full of reminders to remember things, post-it notes everywhere, right? We forget so often what God has done, and God knew that this was going to happen, and that's why he had them do that, so that they could look back and know what God had done. They could tell their children what God had done. And so as I tell you our, kind of the story of how we got to where we are now, I want to do it in that way. I was challenged a number of years ago by some missionaries that had gone to Brazil, and he came back and he challenged us to think back on the times that God had done something significant in our lives. And I know we all can do that, and I'd, hopefully after today, maybe it would be a challenge and encouragement for you to do that too in your lives. Think back at times that God has done something significant. And he even went so far as to challenge us to come up with a little trinket or something that you would remember those events by. Not anything significant about the trinket, don't get me wrong, that's just a thing, but something to remember what God did, right? And so I'd like to kind of tell you our story of some of those standing stone moments in our life and what God did to bring us here. And maybe it would be an encouragement to you as you think about how the Lord has worked in your life, in your walk with him. So I was in high school. This was in, not that old. I'll be 30 this year. So 2000 and I believe this was 2004. I was in 10th grade. And I kind of told this story a little bit this morning, but I was involved in a church, my home church in Pennsylvania, and we were involved in missions overseas in a pretty big way. We had a lot of blue-collar workers, very skilled laborers, and they loved to go and do building projects and helping missionaries, building houses in remote areas. And there were a couple older men in our church who were getting ready to go to Venezuela, a country that is now very, very... and a distressed country in a difficult state, but God is still at work there. Believe me when I say that. And he asked us to go. He asked myself and my best friend. We were just kind of young kids. And as I said this morning, I don't think we were too big at troublemakers, but we didn't have a ton of direction. We were just living life. And they asked us to go with them to build a house for a missionary in the middle of the jungle. And we went. We flew for 2 hours over nothing but dense jungle from the nearest city to the Yawana people, who at that point had an early church, a people group who in 20 years prior had no word of God's language, no word of God's word in their language. And missionaries had gone there to learn the language, learn the culture, to develop a written language, teach literacy, translate scripture, and then teach from creation to Christ. And so there were new missionaries moving in to join the team at that point, and we had the privilege of going and building their house, and we flew 2 hours over the dense jungle. We landed, and our pilot didn't just turn around and go back. He knew everybody there well. He knew the missionary families that were there. He knew what they were struggling with. He knew marriages that were doing well and ones that weren't. He knew people who were struggling with translation, learning a very, very difficult language. He knew those who were doing well. And he got out and he had coffee with them. He talked with them and he encouraged their hearts. And he was working on a side project on one of their generators whenever he could. Anytime he was flying in there and had a minute, he was working on it. And that struck me. This guy's not just a means of transportation. He's that, but he's much more than that. He was there to encourage their hearts in what they were doing. And the Lord had gifted him in that way. Kind of ties in with my challenge to the kids this morning. That really struck me, and from that point on, that was the 10th grade in high school, and so from that point on, God just continued to draw in my walk with Him, closer to Him, but really impressed in my heart the need for people to hear the gospel who have never had a chance, and what role might I play in that. So, and actually, not long after that, I learned to fly in high school, and that's a whole other story in and of itself, but I got my pilot's license, my private pilot's license. I was before I started my senior year of high school. That's a tremendous story, and I don't have time for it. I wish I did. And I went and attended the Laterno University in Longview, Texas, majored in their missions aviation program. And it was a great program. I was able to teach there my last year of attending school. I was able to teach in their flight department as a flight instructor, gaining experience. Again, just God's hand at work. And my last year of college, I met my wife. She was attending New Tribes Mission Bible School in Jackson, Michigan. And for me, how do you take my spouse and how do I take my spouse and think of it as a standing stone, but it is in my life. You know, Elizabeth and I have been married now coming up on 8 years. We have 4 kids, and our life has been characterized by change. We've moved many times in this endeavor. Many different challenges that the Lord has walked with us, but I can't imagine doing this without her. I can't imagine. God has used her tremendously in my walk with Him, and as we endeavor to do this, I can't imagine doing this without God's Spirit with us, but I can't imagine doing this without my wife alongside me. So that's a standing stone in going forward. And why do we have these standing stones, as I continue to maybe mention a few more? Why do we have those? If you think back in your life of events that God, things that God has done, why do we have them? Well, as we go down the road, as we go towards the future, into the unknown, where fear may be present and anxiety and lack of knowing what's to come, we can look back and see what God has already done. Oh, that's right, God, you did that. You did that, and you did that, and you did that. And I don't know what this is going to look like, but you've been faithful back here, and you're constant. So as we go forward, we can remember that, and that gives us confidence in Him. So we got married in, I have an easy anniversary, 1-1-1-1, January 1st, 2011. Yeah. Planned that one, right? And we got married in January 1st, 2011. And we both wanted to be a part of what God is doing in reaching unreached people groups. We didn't know what that was exactly going to look like, but it looked like we were headed towards aviation, and that's where the Lord has us now. But we had a barrier. See, I went to school and acquired a significant amount of student loans. Many of you may be familiar with those. And we worked and we worked and we worked and we worked, and we had worked for 4 years, and we had paid off about half. There was still a sizable amount left. We bought a house in a little town of Montoursville outside of Williamsport. If you know where Montoursville is, I'm impressed. And we walked in and looked at the house, and Elizabeth said, well, I guess we're not going to buy that one. And we bought that one. It was a fixer-upper nonetheless, and the Lord allowed us to renovate it while we were there. And 3 weeks or so, not long after we moved in, there were people that said, hey, we want to, if you ever sell your house, let us know. We'd like to have first option to buy. Okay, well, it might be a little while, but all right. So 2 years later, we're getting ready to sell our house. They said, okay, we'll buy it. They were a cash buyer. They gave us our asking price. We took the difference and paid off all of our student loans. And we really felt like the Lord wanted us to go overseas debt-free. Like, we wouldn't want to have that burden. We didn't know what it was going to look like and how we were going to do that, but God did, and He did it. And you know, when we look towards the future, what's to come, and how is He going to provide, and what is that going to look like? I don't know. But He's done it before, and He'll do it again. We moved to Columbus, Ohio after living in Williamsport. My wife is from Columbus, Ohio. We moved there to be close to her family for some time before we start traveling and end up overseas for longer periods of time. We got to plug into her home church and get to know them well, and it was a really great time. I got a job there flying for a company, got to start their corporate flight department. They were a large engineering company, and they wanted to start their own corporate flight department to fly their people around. And so I had the privilege of being able to start that, and what a tremendous job. It was great. Aviation jobs historically and typically are not great family jobs. You're gone all the time. People want to go, and you're the one that gets them there, so you're just gone, and you can't take your family with you. But this was a job. I was home most nights. I was never gone on a weekend because they only used it for business. People that have an airplane often use them for pleasure and weekends at that time, so you're often gone weekends, and I was home. It was a great job, great benefits. It was just phenomenal. But we knew the Lord was leading us in this direction. And I say this not to be like, look at what we did. It's look at what God has done. But it came time to where we were ready to go. We had saved a bit to get us started. And I remember sitting in the car. I was going to call my boss. He was a great guy. I was giving him a 3-month notice just because I really wanted, he had been so good to us, I wanted to give him that benefit. And I remember sitting in my car. I'd gotten home from a trip, and I was just sitting there probably for an hour or more. Just I was afraid in a way. Here I am. I've got 3 kids. We were pregnant with our 4th. You know, what are we going to do? There goes insurance. How is this all going to work out? But we knew God was leading us in this direction. So I called and talked to Jim and let him know, and he was very supportive of what we were doing. Sad to see us go, but supportive of what we were doing. But you know, that moment, I left my job in corporate aviation. This was in July of 2016. That was 2 years ago. And looking back since then, we've not gone without. The Lord has provided for our needs, and it continues to do so. I don't always know what it's going to look like from month to month, but he continues to provide. You know, it's where is your security? Is it in this job with great benefits and pay? Or is it in the Lord who provides anyways? So another standing stone for our family. I'd like to read a bit of scripture in 1 Corinthians, something that has challenged us and continually just God just stirs in our minds, and we spend time in this passage. I think about it often. So 1 Corinthians 3:10-15, I'll just read. According to the grace of God given to me like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. In another translation it says wise master builders, and I talked about that a little bit this morning. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, make the distinction there, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, gold, silver, and precious stones, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So what is going to stand? What is going to stand when we're accountable for and stewards over, God has given us stewardship over our resources. I think of resources often as time. What am I doing with my time? It's a resource that we all have, and we have a limited amount of it, right? There's never enough hours in the day. It's a limited resource. What am I doing with my hours today? It's so easy to just pull your phone out and be, man, all of a sudden an hour's gone. What did I do? Not that a phone can't be used as a tool, because I believe it can be, but when it's used without discretion and just sort of flippantly, I think that's something that I know is a challenge to me. What's going to stand when we're, what are we doing with our resources that God has given us stewardship over? So remember the job that I had in Columbus, the great job, and I left it, and God has provided ever since. This was an aha moment for me when a few months back, I still stay pretty active in, well, as a pilot preparing to go overseas, but still pretty active in aircraft sales and what's going on. I like to just keep on top of the market. I was looking, and I saw one of our aircraft that I bought for the company there. We ended up with 7 airplanes, and one of the airplanes was for sale. And it's like, oh, maybe they're upgrading or something, right? Well, then I found another one and another one for sale. It's like, oh, man. So I called the friend of mine who ended up taking the job, my job there, and called and said, John, what's going on? What looks like all the planes are for sale. He said, yeah. Jim called us into his office and said that the company had been doing so well, we actually saw tremendous growth while we were there, that a venture capitalist firm out of Chicago saw that growth and bought them out and immediately said the airplanes are, they got to go. From a liability standpoint, they've got to go. So just like that, it was gone. And I'm 2 years removed from that, but even still, it took me a little bit. I processed that for a while because, you know, I think it's easy for us here where we like to, you know, whatever we're striving towards or accomplishing, we can take pride in that, and that's a good thing, but where do we find our significance and where do we find our security? And so when I saw the job was gone, the job that was gone, and all the work that I had put into to putting together a successful and safe and reliable flight department, it was over. It was gone. They were for sale, gone. Fire sailed them. They were out of there. It's like, wow, God. That was kind of a hit to me, I think. But it really took a moment and gave opportunity to pause and think, what am I doing now with my time? And is it going to be something that's gone like that? Or am I investing in things that are going to stand the test of time? So the gold, silver, and precious stones, are they things that are going to be that will last for eternity? You know, it's very clear that the Word of God and the souls of men are the things that are going to last. Now, let me just make a caveat to that. Just because we are missionaries, does not mean that now everything we do is now going to last for eternity. That is a lie. All of us, it's a daily walking with the Lord. God, what would you have me do today with my time and my resources? What would you have me do? And I think this is just something we can come back to. I have to come back to often because it's easy to stray from that. So that's a little bit about how we got here today. And where I'd like to maybe talk to you a little bit about what this looks like ahead. So right now, our Ethnos 360 Aviation, we have our headquarters in McNeil, Arizona, and that's where we reside now, although we move all the time. It seems like that's where our current residence is, and only for a short time longer till about the end of the year. I'm finishing up with some of their advanced helicopter training to be able to go to the Philippines and serve missionaries there, encourage missionaries there. So some of the advanced training for us looks like we use a lot of external loads with the helicopter because it's a helicopter is just a tool. It's a means to an end. There's nothing fancy about the fact that we are using airplanes or helicopters. It's a means to an end, seeing people reach that. I think I said the number this morning, 1,636, according to Wycliffe Bible Translators today on their website, 1,636 language groups, distinct language groups in the world that don't have a word of God's word in their language, none. So I think Don said in the Digging Deeper class, he said, yeah, like people, and this is true, people that have never heard a word of God's word, you can look out in the sky on a starry night and think, man, there's something greater out there. But that's as far as it goes. Romans talks about how can we believe and if we haven't heard, here it comes by the word of God. So we see a tremendous need for these people that have yet to have a word of God's word in their language. So we're going to be using the helicopter, a tool, to serve missionaries who are doing just that, living in remote areas where there are days or weeks by boat or hiking to get to where they live. So to support their families with food and supplies, to provide medical support when an ambulance service, if they get sick, they need to get to the hospital quickly, we are that. Building supplies, whatever it takes to get the job done. And if the helicopter someday down the road right now it seems like a very viable source, and we're using it well, I think. It's amazing to see, and it's humbling to see how God is using this tool to further his kingdom. But if someday that becomes irrelevant and something else supersedes it, I hope we go to that. It's just a means to an end, right? So that's where we're headed. Our goal is to be in the Philippines in the spring of 2019. And we're excited to be partnered with you. We're just doing what you're doing here in your mission field in Bethel Park. We're just doing it there. And we couldn't be doing it without you. So I hope that this is a relationship that we can develop, and that you guys will feel as much a part of this as if you were right there alongside us serving, because essentially you are doing just that. So it's really a privilege to be here. It's a privilege to be able to share with you. Like I said, we're headed back to Arizona to finish up some training. We'll be coming back to the Williamsport area in, sometime in December or January. And Lord willing, in May is our goal to be able to get to the Philippines. New Tribes Mission, if you don't know, it is a faith-based mission. We do raise our own support. They set a recommended level for our size family and where we're going, and we're somewhere around the 43% of that mark. And you know, that even in and of itself, to me, blows my mind that the Lord has brought those people on board with us. And how is the rest going to come? I don't know, but God is going to do it some way or another, and I'm confident in that. So it's really a privilege. It's really a privilege to share with you all today. My wife and our four kids were here. We actually parked out back. I don't know if you saw a trailer that was parked out back. It was our old trailer that we used to move all these times. I threw a couple of bunk beds in the back, and so we actually travel with that, and that's kind of how we do this, the nomadic lifestyle, I suppose. But you know, again, if that's what it takes, we don't mind it. It's a pleasure, and we'll be here a bit afterwards. If you get a chance to visit with us, we'd love to hear more of you. I loved the class this morning, and anybody else that wants to get to know us and know a little bit more about us. We do have on the back table, we have our prayer cards. Man, I can't tell you the encouragement it is when we get a word from somebody, text, email, phone call, that says, hey, we were praying for you today. Man, when I've got our family and we're traveling all around and life is just busy and we don't even know exactly what tomorrow is going to look like, sometimes it feels like, to get a note like that we hold on to that for a long time. So we have prayer cards back there. If you take one and stick it on your fridge, man, we would covet your prayers. We have a brochure back there that talks a little bit more about what we're doing. And we also have a response card back there, which it looks like this. It's black. And on the back, it just has some information. And I would encourage you, if nothing else, we would love if you'd sign up for and fill one out, give us your email address. If you'd like to hear, we send out updates fairly regularly. We'd love to add you to our list so you can be a part. We want you to feel the sense of partnership that we already do with New Song, and just the excitement that you share with us. So I hope that we can share that with you, and I hope we can develop the relationship more. And it's really been a privilege to be able to share with you guys today. So if you would, just maybe take a look at one of these and fill one out. And we'll hang around in the back as well afterwards. So just to close our time out this morning, I was thinking I'd like to just close our time out in prayer, and then I'd like to read from Ephesians 3, just something that I liked. I think it's a great thing to close out with, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, and Paul's benediction there. And so I'll just go ahead and close our time in prayer if that works for y'all. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your grace and your provision, your mercy. Thank you that we get to be a part of what you're doing in the world. You don't need to use us, but you choose to. You want to. You want to use us as your body to fulfill the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations. And what a privilege it is that we have to be a part of that. So thank you for our friends and our partners here at New Song. Thank you for their interest and excitement and passion for reaching the lost here and abroad. Thank you that we get to partner with them. And I pray that as we go out, that we would be able to continue to build this relationship, Lord, that you would just use use what we have for your glory. Lord, just be with us the rest of today, Lord, and for the week ahead. In your name we pray. Amen. So Ephesians 3, I'll just read this and then we're dismissed. So Ephesians 3, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.